Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and happy morning after St. Paddy's Day. I hope everyone is doing well today, and I hope you had a great time celebrating the luck of the Irish. I'm very excited to bring you a very informative show today where many of you will learn about something that you probably haven't given much thought to before, and that is unconscious bias in the workplace. For those of you new to our show, my name is Laura Alley, and I am the president of Triple Win Sales, headquartered in Chatham, New Jersey. And I'm thrilled to bring you today two very special guests, the two co-founders of the new startup venture, Shift HR, Catherine Nuck Freeman and Suzanne Serra. I think Chatham just might be becoming the new Manhattan of the West. Welcome to the show, Catherine and Suzanne.
Thanks, Laura. We're really looking forward to talking with you today.
Good morning, Laura. Excited to have you guys. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. So I always think it's a great thing and a great competitive advantage to keep sharpening that saw and learning about something new. And I feel that today's topic, unconscious bias in the workplace, is just that for many of our listeners. But before we start talking about that, why don't you give us a little overview or tell us a little bit about Shift HR?
Well, Shift HR compliance training is a company which provides many different essential types of online training for employers. And one of our most essential training modules is preventing harassment and discrimination for the workplace. And another one, which really goes hand in hand with that training program, is combating unconscious bias. And we're finding that employers are incredibly interested in doing these types of training programs to help them really present an affirmative defense if they're ever challenged by a disgruntled employee. But more importantly than that, they're really looking to make an impact in their workplace and really decrease these types of concerns and complaints so that they can instead focus on business, focus on production, and focus on the types of things that really drove them to start their businesses in the first place.
Got it. So, like, is that how you got the idea for this? Because you guys are both attorneys. I should mention that to our audience. You're both attorneys, and you were probably helping some clients with maybe the defense of these type of matters. Is that what evolved, or is this what got you guys into this idea for starting a new venture around this?
It is. Catherine and I actually started a law firm just over 10 years ago, and we specialize in representing companies of all sizes in all types of employment matters. So we counsel them, do training, but we also spend a lot of time defending suits by employees, and it really gave us a unique perspective in terms of what impact a lack of training could have on a company's their risk profile. So managers who are really not keyed in on how their own unconscious biases might be impacting hiring decisions, promotion decisions, even something like who to assign a big client to, and we see the negative fallout in terms of the types of claims that people are bringing against companies. So it gave us the idea that we really needed to push training, and we've done a lot of live training with our clients, and JIP was born from the idea that we needed to expand the access to training for companies to have employees who have numerous employees who are spread out geographically, which makes it more challenging to do the live training.
Yes,
sure.
Suzanne,
and now,
exactly
now,
right.
Your training is now delivered online, is that so, or do you still do some in person?
Well, Shift HR Compliance Training Company provides online training. And so the way the online came about was really many of our clients were hiring us to do the instructor-led training for their HR teams, for their executive committees, for their senior managers, and instead we're giving an online training program to the thousands of other employees in the workforce. And some of our clients would ask us, can you find a really good online training program that we could use when we're not doing senior management? So we must have viewed 20, 30, 40 online training programs and said, there's nothing out there that we can recommend. We need to create something that really lives up to our standards, really engages our clients, employees, and really makes an impact. And there wasn't anything on the market, which is why we started Shift HR Compliance.
I love that. And I have taken a look at some of, the brief overviews of your training, and it looks like it's very exciting the way that it's delivered. It reminds me of a game, and I know gamification is very popular now, that term. I deal with a lot of CEOs all over the state, and sometimes when we're doing leadership development or team development of their executive team, we try to make it into a game so that they retain the knowledge. Do you feel that that's a component of your online training?
Absolutely. We hired the pioneers of e-learning. We served as the subject matter experts as employment law attorneys ourselves, and then really relied on technology experts to say what works with learners, what engages them, what causes them to pay attention. And I have to say they were spot on. And it's a good thing we didn't try to create this 5 years ago when gamification wasn't the thing and there was all this really substandard training. But now the games you play, we've showed it to heads of human resources, owners of companies, and we'd like to say even our children, and they all equally love the gamification of the online program. So you're exactly right. You're on to something there.
I know. I love it. I love the way that it looks.
Yeah, and in addition to the way it looks visually, it's even broken down into shorter modules just because it makes it easier for the clients to deliver it in a busy, fast-paced work environment. And it just also makes it more interesting for the learners because they're going by different topics to kind of be short first.
That's
a really good point,
too. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I was just going to say,
going back
Suzanne
to the need for this. I'm sorry, Catherine. Go right ahead.
Sorry, it's hard.
So going back to the need for this with your clients, I was in a seminar maybe a month or so ago in the city, and it was about how many harassment suits in organizations, not just the big ones, but the medium-sized ones, are on the rise. And along with the number of suits is the monetary award. Do you find that the case when you're going out and educating the market on this, that this is really on the rise and something that every company has to have a strategy of protection around?
Absolutely. It's really under federal law and many state laws, employers will have a defense to certain types of harassment and discrimination claims if they've done effective training. So you're right that harassment lawsuits are not going away. They at best plateau, but usually are on the rise. And we have our own philosophy about that. We think that employers are doing ineffective training because companies, Fortune 500 companies, have been conducting training on preventing workplace harassment and discrimination for decades upon decades, and it has done nothing to change the statistics. So our thinking is you need to change the training in order to change the statistics. You need to make it more engaging. You need to make it more impactful. It can't just be a CYA. It needs to have broader goals than that. And hopefully that will move the needle and will start to, at least for those employers who are engaging in it, decrease their claims.
Right.
you make a great point, which is a lot of small and mid-sized companies don't realize that their exposure is basically the same as these large Fortune 500 companies who have obviously much greater resources to do training and other things. In New Jersey, for example, these laws apply to companies who have one or more employees, and under federal laws, 15 or more employees. So we see just as many suits against small and mid-sized companies as we do against the larger companies. So, part of our education is letting companies know that no matter what size you are, you need to be thinking about having, the right anti-harassment policy and doing the right training to protect yourself, because the standard in the lawsuit is the same for all companies. They have to show that they're exercising, due diligence and reasonable care to prevent these claims. And a huge piece of that is this type of training.
Right. So I deal with a lot of manufacturing clients, and, maybe they aren't the size of the IBMs and the Googles out there, but they have employees that need this. I could definitely see how this is something that would appeal to companies of all sizes, in a sense. So a couple of weeks ago, I was watching the Academy Awards, and Chris Rock, was the host, and he made some allusion to, the Academy being maybe not as kind to people of color or different races as they maybe should be. And initially you think, well, that's not true, that can't be true. But does that play into what really unconscious bias is? Is that it's what you don't know, you don't know. What is that saying? You don't know what you don't know. That's what I meant to say. Do you find that there's a correlation between that?
Well, it's interesting. I think what he was really saying is that not necessarily that Hollywood wasn't being so kind to people who weren't Caucasian, but they weren't being inclusive and they weren't thinking of people who weren't your standard directors and actors and actresses as often as they should be because of, you know, because of their unconscious biases, that they were, that these, the leadership in Hollywood is programmed to think about certain groups of people more than others because that's the way they've always done things. So,
right.
And that's really what unconscious bias is, not intentionally treating somebody differently, not, you know, not being nasty to somebody, not putting people down, but just really excluding people, not thinking about people, having preconceived notions and stereotypes about certain people for certain roles. And that's one of the ways we're trying to help combat harassment and discrimination in the workplace is really getting to the root of those issues. And unconscious bias, things that we're not aware of, things that we're doing that we're not aware of, are often at the root of those issues. So we're trying to raise that awareness and help employers put structures in place and practices in place to help avoid those issues.
Yeah, Laura, like an
interesting
example might be, an interesting example might be, sometimes people or managers do things that they think are actually out of kindness or being considerate to the employee, but we end up seeing those things in a lot. One very common example is male managers who don't ask their female managers with young kids to travel or handle large clients because they think they're being considerate, and the women actually feel like they're being excluded. So it's just educating the managers to make sure that they're not letting their own unconscious biases negatively impact somebody's ability to move forward within their own company.
That is such a great point you just made, Suzanne, because I see that that does happen. And it's happened to me. And you're right. They think they're being thoughtful, but it makes you feel excluded in a way. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think you guys are on to a home run here. I really do. I think that there's so many people out there that could benefit from this. Because you're right. It's something that you don't really know. You're not doing it purposefully, but it's something in your unconscious that's leading you to act some way that can make somebody feel, you know, not that they're treated unfairly.
Yeah, and you can't fix it unless you become aware of it. That's the whole key. Just raise the awareness because so many of us are good, smart, diligent employees and leaders in the workplace, and if these issues are raised to our attention, we're going to do whatever we can to really make a difference.
Wonderful. So in your experience, before we wrap up, what is the best advice you could give to any CEOs out there that are listening in to our show today?
Definitely do the training. Make sure you're doing the right training. Do it not just to cover yourself and hopefully assert an affirmative defense, but do it to make an impact in your workplace, help create a better workplace for your employees, for your managers, and ultimately really increase the likelihood of success for your business.
Excellent.
Yeah,
so now
I'm
sorry, go ahead, Suzanne.
I was just going to echo that about raising awareness and, you know, thinking about this as more than just on the defensive, but going out and proactively raising awareness within the organization because not only is it going to protect you against legal claims, but it's going to enhance your culture as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really good points. So how can the listeners out there today get in touch with Shift HR? And do you have something coming up? I think you guys mentioned to me you have a webinar coming up. Is that for potential people that want to learn more about your solution? Okay.
We do. We have a webinar on combating unconscious bias in the workplace. And it's Tuesday, April 5th, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if anyone is interested in getting more information about our training programs or what they can do to make a bigger impact in their workplace, they can reach out to us at info@shiftelt.com. And our program,
excellent,
I should add, that Unconscious Bias Program offers 1 hour of SHRM and HRCI credits to those who are interested in those credits.
Excellent. Okay, well, I can't thank you guys enough. I really appreciate your time. I think this was very informative to our studio audience and those that will listen to our recorded broadcast of this when we have it out there on social media. Anything else you guys want to say or any other last-minute things you want to leave our studio audience with?
Yeah, I think we've covered it all. We were very efficient in 15 minutes. So thanks, Laura, for all your great questions. Thanks so
Thank
much
you guys so
us.
Much. It was really a pleasure, and I look forward to reading about you guys on the cover of Fortune.
That would be great.
Thanks,
Thank
Laura.
You.
All right, take care. Have a great day and a great weekend.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye.